Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host. I am the host of It's Your Money, the financial podcast that was designed to pull back the curtain on the financial services industry and expose the truth about money and investing. I'm glad to be with you today. I am excited. It's the beginning of the school year here in September, and all the kids are off in school. Everybody's back into their grind, so to speak, now that we're a few weeks into it. Summer has started to fade a little bit, and fall is becoming quite clear, especially here in the Northeast. I don't know where you may be listening to this around the world, but it's starting to get a little chilly here, which is normally what happens. The leaves are turning, and it is a beautiful time of the year up here. And of course, the market has been very, very good to us this year, strongly in part due to the quantitative easing and the continued influx of government money in the tune of $85 billion a month, which just boggles the mind. And it's been very good for those investing in the market because it certainly is propping things up. Here at Financial Abundance, Financial Abundance is a registered investment advisory firm that I happen to be the founder of. Here at Financial Abundance, we believe in an efficient approach to the market. We believe that all knowable information is figured into the price of goods and services, and only unknowable information is going to change those prices. That investing is really relatively simple if you can maintain some logic and keep grounded emotionally and not fall into the hype. You know, if you own equities and you diversify and rebalance, you're going to get market returns. And sometimes, you know, the market's a bear market. Sometimes it's a bull market. So what we're trying to do here at Financial Abundance, what we believe and what we teach, is the same thing that's taught in all the major universities, academics, Nobel laureates from University of Chicago, Dartmouth, Yale, Stanford, on and on and on. The science has been there for 50 years, but as I have shared with you listeners many, many times before, the science is not as lucrative to teach and promote. Rather, keeping people in what we call the investment dilemma, where they're overloaded with information they don't understand and have to revert back to emotional-based responses, is why we have so many transactions in this industry. And transactions is where the money's made. In fact, on a side note, while I'm on this, I remember right after 2008, I was looking at a few of the major brokerage firms, many of them that you would all be familiar with, and I was looking at their earnings after that, after 8 and into 9, and it was amazing. They were having record quarterly earnings. At the same time, the market was absolutely dying on us, and it makes one wonder. It goes to show that there's actually more money to be made in a down market than an up market, because more people freak out and they let their emotions override the logic. When you look at investing, it is relatively simple. And you know, it is hard to do by yourself. It doesn't matter how well read you are. You need someone to help you, guide you along, that's not emotionally involved in your situation. It's hard to be objective about your own situation. This is why I have a coach. And I'll tell you, when I meet up with my coach every so often, I walk away going, I don't know if I wanted to hang with him. But as I think about some of the coaching I get, you know, none of us want to hear things we don't want to hear. And when we hear things we don't want to hear, generally we want to reject them. But, you know, it's often the things we don't want to hear that we need to hear in order to have a brighter future and a more promising outlook. And it is exciting because I'm going to tell you something you want to hear right now, and that is the market update for September 26, 2013. So this would have been as of business close, September 26th. And the market's been incredible. All these numbers will be year to date. We believe in efficient market. We believe in owning equities. We believe in pure and true diversification. And you cannot chase the market if you're going to win long term. You might win here and there, but there's no proof whatsoever out there that shows anyone, any machine, any technology, has been able to consistently stay ahead of the market trends and what's going on. And it's, if you think about it, it's pretty simple as to why, because the market's made up of billions of irrational people. So why would we expect something to be irrational when we're dealing with a bunch of emotional or irrational people? And that is that fear and greed often create an irrational state of mind. In fact, you know, when you think about most of the mistakes you've made, they've probably been in the area of money and love. You know, it's interesting how those emotions are so strong. But the market update is really exciting, except for one area. Let me go through it. Now we are going to give you the different index that represent different facets of the market so that we have a complete picture of the global economy. We're going to start with the U.S., and we are going to look at the Russell 2500 index. We like that because it measures small to mid-cap U.S. companies. So how are small companies, these are growth companies predominantly, small growth companies doing in the United States year to date? Just shy of 27%, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you own small cap companies in your portfolio. If not, you're going to miss out on a lot of action there. 26, almost 27%. This is year to date as of September 26. Let's move on to the Russell 2000, which measures small value companies. Micro-size companies. And where we are right there is 28.25, almost just shy, a little above 28% year to date for small growth companies versus a small to mid cap. I just mentioned being almost 27. So across the board, at this point, let me jump to the Russell 2000 value. Across the board for small, because Russell 2000 value measures small value companies, not growth companies, but value companies. And year to date, we're just shy of 24%. So in the small company universe in the United States, both growth and value, we find ourselves being up substantially in the mid-20s year to date. That's exciting, ladies and gentlemen. That's a beautiful thing. We like to see double-digit ups for sure. If we go on to the large cap section, these would be the larger companies, growth and value. We'll go ahead and look at the Russell 1000 Value Index, which measures the performance of large value companies, not growth companies, but value companies. And it's just shy of 22% year to date. When we go on to the S&P 500, which would round out the U.S. large companies, growth companies predominantly, that would be the laggard for the U.S. at a little above 19%. So we're respectively between 19 on the low and almost 29% on the high in the U.S. marketplace, whether that be small, large, value, or growth. And that's exciting. Now, what's interesting is whenever we analyze portfolios, most of the time we see predominantly, almost always, large growth companies. We rarely see small companies. And so most people's 401ks should be up quite a bit because U.S. large is up. That's not always the case because small certainly has outperformed large historically. So the market update as of 9/26 for the U.S. is quite promising this year. Of course, the year's not over, but at this point, I certainly hope we don't give back much before the year's over what we have here. But we do have some political issues looming with the fear of shutdown and yada, yada, yada. Every time I hear a politician or anything on the news anymore, it kind of sounds like, Charlie Brown. Remember the old Charlie Brown cartoons? It's like, yeah, 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 yeah. It's the same old stuff, different day. My dad would say, same stuff, different day, whenever I'd ask him how things are going, it's interesting. I was watching a show recently. It was an older show of Hal Holbrook when he played Mark Twain on Broadway, and it was a lot of Mark Twain's anecdotes and stories, and I thought it interesting that here we are 100 years removed roughly from that time, and they were making the same jokes about politicians in the government back then, so I don't think much has changed historically, but we're still in the greatest country in the world, oorah. Let's move on to Morgan Stanley Capital International. We're going to talk about the World Index, Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index. And this is a free-floating market weighted index that's designed to measure equity performance in developed markets, not emerging, but developed markets. And these would be countries along the lines of Australia, Canada, Finland, France, Portugal, UK, just to name a few. And we're doing 16.3 year-to-date for the developed markets in the country. I hope you are invested globally. And I hope that you're invested across the board and rebalancing on a regular basis. Be leery of rebalancing, though. I find often rebalancing is used more to change funds or to make transactions happen more than pure rebalancing of a portfolio. If you would like to learn more, in fact, about rebalancing, reach out to our office or check out our website, In fact, we have a brand new website, all revamped, FAICoach.com. That's Frank Alpha Indian Coach.com. Love some feedback and some input from you if you get a chance to surf that. We've got some videos on there. But if you'd like to learn more, there's a wealth of information on there, and there's more information that can be requested, especially in the area of rebalancing, the hidden secret to successful investing. Let me move on back to the market update. And I think I've had too much coffee this morning. What do you think? Emerging markets, Morgan Stanley Capital International Emerging Markets. These would be not developed countries, but emerging countries. These would be countries like Brazil, Colombia, Egypt, Hungary, Indonesia, Israel, Korea, Morocco, Peru, Thailand, etc. This is the only doggered, this report, or the only laggard, the negative one. Let's just call it that for right now. It's about 5% in the hole. It is the only one that is in the hole this year. Everything else is double-digit up. Now, what's significant about that is that's going to happen. In a well-designed portfolio, you're going to have areas of that that have mundane earnings from time to time. This is why rebalancing is so important. And we've been watching emerging markets this year, and it hasn't performed well, but we continue to rebalance into it. So when it turns, it's going to be happy days. You never know what's going to happen. You never know which asset class is going to be the winner or the loser for a given year. This is why it's so important, and the academics and almost 60 years of research has proved this out, that you just want to get market returns, and you got to realize in order to do that, you have to own equities. You have to diversify across all the different asset classes, and you have to rebalance. That's indisputable. It's scientifically proven. All the other stories are just stories unless they, you know what? It's just a story unless you got some science to back it up. Then it starts to become real. Let's go to the last area, Morgan Stanley Capital International, EAFE, Europe, Australia, Far East. This represents basically an index designed to measure equity performance of developed markets, excluding U.S. and Canada. That'd be North America, excluding North America. And year-to-date, we have 14.22%. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a wonderful thing when the market's up. It certainly is exciting. But, you know, even if it was down, it's a temporary thing. We got to look at the long term, and I want to encourage you to constantly reinforce to yourself that it's all about the end game. What's important is when you start to pull the money out where the market is. And so hopefully you're getting market returns. I wish that for you. That's my that's what we do here at Financial Abundance. We're all about looking at market returns and trying to achieve that through discipline, diversification, and science. With that set aside here, market update, that's an update as of the end of September. We'll do another one next month. I have a couple articles that I want to share with you. One that both of these come from Reuters. I found this interesting. This is a article that, what's the date on it? I guess it would have been the 26th as well. And the headline reads, Madoff accountant indicted for aiding Ponzi scheme. And this is interesting. A former accountant for Bernie Madoff has been indicted on charges that he helped the convicted swindler defraud thousands of customers in the Ponzi scheme that he had masterminded. Now, this was nearly 5 years afterwards. The gentleman's name is Paul Koningsberg, and he is a senior tax partner with Koningsberg, Wolf & Company in New York. He was arrested Thursday. What's interesting about this article is, to me, was, you know, Madoff, 75 years old right now, he's arrested in December of 2008. He pled guilty 3 months later, and he's serving a 150-year prison term. He had lost or swindled customers out of $17.3 billion of principal. That's with a B, not million, but billion. And what I found interesting about this article, besides the fact that they're still finding people that were part of this process and moving forward to rectify the situation. And I read on in the article, and it has said that there were actually 15 people now that have been, I guess, indicted or brought to task on this, and 9 have pleaded guilty. So when you start to look at this, the main reason I bring this up, besides the sadness of the loss and the fact that you know, justice does prevail in this case, and they put this guy away, but it doesn't help the people that lost $17 billion. But this is an example of why you never want to give an advisor custody of your funds, discretion or authority of your funds. You want to have a third-party custodian that checks go to and from. You don't want statements coming from an advisor that makes them up. If an advisor has custody and discretion or authority over your funds and is creating statements that are created by their firm, those are the red flags, ladies and gentlemen. Because if you don't give them custody, discretion, or authority, these things can't happen. There are safety nets or stop gaps in the industry that would help with that. So it's just another word to the wise. Be leery. If you are giving someone custody of your funds or signing forms that give them discretion or authority over your funds, because if they have custody, discretion, and authority, they can get to them. If they can get to them, they can take them. And you know, again, one of the things that makes us stupid besides love is money. So we've got to be very cognizant of that. This leads me to another article that I read that I found interesting. And this boggles my mind, ladies and gentlemen, with all the debt that's going on in the states and all these states going broke and some of them are defaulting on their bonds. And we've been hearing this for a few years now. I picked this up because it caught my eye. U.S. state tax revenue hits record high in second quarter census. Total state revenues rose by 9.4% from the second quarter of 2012 to $259 billion, the largest intake on record going back to 1988, and the 15th straight quarter of increases. How can this be, ladies and gentlemen? How can it be that these states are getting record revenue at the same time? Some of them are defaulting on some of their bonds, and certainly they're all crying about being broke. And it makes me think of Pareto's Law. You know, Pareto's Law says that one will do a job within the time allotted. If you got a one-hour job and you give somebody 4 hours to do it, well, it's just the nature of the flesh. It's human nature that we're going to spend 4 hours doing it. And I think of that when I think of this revenue. If they've got more revenue, they'll figure out how to spend it. It won't be reserved for later things. They will operate within the amount of money that they have. So that's one lesson from this. The second thing that scares me is the fact that they continue to tax us even more and more and more. I mean, it's incredible. And if it's not a state or federal tax, it's a local tax, it's a municipal tax, it's a school tax, or it's a permit or a licensing fee or some other sundry ancillary type fee that you have to pay in order to function. I was thinking of something I heard yesterday about the Attorney General coming down on several Asian automakers, and they fined them billions of dollars about making claims about the automobile's features that were in them. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, oh, wow, I'm glad they took these companies to task. But at the same time, if you are going to fine them hundreds of millions of dollars, who's going to pay for that? Ultimately, the consumer pays for it. But I guess Economics 101 is not a course very many politicians pay attention in. They just think mudslinging works. But anyway, when we start to look at this revenue, ladies and gentlemen, it's scary. It's scary numbers. $260 billion in a quarter, and these states can't operate. It makes one wonder how they could ever run a business. And, you know, one thing I learned early on in being in business for about 25 years now, going on 30 years, is I'm the last one to get the paycheck. I'm not the first one that gets a paycheck. I'm the last one that gets a paycheck, if there's anything left. And of course, we understand the outrage right now in the country with the way things are going with the government. And, you know, most of us don't give a rip about the government if it didn't affect our lives so much. Left, right, middle. If you're not upset about what's going on in the government right now and what's going on with all this spending and the debt, I would wonder why. Why aren't you? But what are we going to do about it? Well, we can vote and we can do those types of things. And, you know, even though it becomes a frustrating process, we still take a lot of time and effort to try to make good decisions as it relates to our political leaders, but it's the same thing, only different, isn't it? Same thing, only different. Well, the good news is the market's up. The good news is Bernie Madoff's in jail. The good news is tax revenues are up for states. The bad news is that we don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year. They're talking about shutdowns and this, that, and the other thing. And same stuff, different day. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach. I hope this finds you well. Thank you for your time. I hope that we gave you a nugget or two. If nothing else, the market update. If you'd like to learn more about an academic approach to investing, retirement planning, different facets of money and how it works, check out our website, faicoach.com, or give our office a call, 866-867-5745, and we'll get you plugged into some type of educational process that will hopefully lead to more enlightenment so one can make prudent decisions based on the facts, not creative stories. This is Paul Nichols, the host of It's Your Money, signing off. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you down the road.